We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
It's just I'm there for the fries.
The fries and the vibes.
The fries and the vibes. Red Robin.
Yum. This is not sponsored by Red Robin.
I was just about to say this podcast this is free is just marketing. A commercial for BDSM and Red Robin.
Yeah, BDSM, Red Robin, and
crying.
Welcome to the Holy Hour.
I'm Amelia Sampson.
And I'm Liz Ball.
I don't know why it's weird for me to make eye contact with you when I say my name. I always feel so weird. I always have to look away. I don't know why.
You're okay. Reminding me that you're Amelia Sampson.
Just so you know. Just so we're on the same page. Okay, it's happening.
Do that crack. Beautiful.
Oh, I'm excited to hear how that sounds on the new mic.
It popped.
It's my favorite sound in the world. It did.
Mm-hmm. In a good way.
Ooh.
I am now seeing the same psychiatrist that Amelia is seeing.
I am obsessed with her.
She is amazing.
I know.
And she prescribed me Prozac for my anxiety.
So now we have the same psychiatrist and the same anti-anxiety medication. Oh my God. And the same podcast.
Wow. What can't we do?
And then I was like,
do you think that we're just becoming the same person?
Mm-hmm. We're just morphing more and more mm-hmm. into each other. It's fine.
Our voices are becoming like...
It's bound to happen. Yeah. We're one of those podcasts. Which one's talking?
Like, who's who? I hate those podcasts.
Yeah, me too. Yeah.
Except for ours.
Yeah. We're the... Yeah.
And then I was like, at the end, I was like, do you also think maybe like... I have ADHD because I'm not sure. And she's like, yeah, a lot of those symptoms are similar. So we can like narrow it down once you have been taking this for a little while, then we can see how it's going.
Yeah.
And I was like, oh, that's true. I guess I don't need to figure it all out today.
Yeah. No, it sucks with ADHD and anxiety because the ADHD medications make you more anxious.
Yeah. And then I was like having anxiety about taking an anti-anxiety medication.
That is the story of my life.
I was like, that... Yeah, it's, well, and then you and my boyfriend had a good point of, like, it's okay to be anxious about taking something that's going to change your brain chemistry.
Yeah.
And she pointed out, she's like, there's multiple ways you can change your brain chemistry. One of them is therapy. Mm-hmm. Another one is medication can help. And then I was like, she do be right, though.
Did she draw, like, a...
She drew me a little graph. She's amazing. Love her. She's so sweet.
She really is.
I was like, I'll tell you my life story, girl.
She's so easy to talk to. Mm-hmm. And she always just seems like genuinely interested in like your life, which is really hard to find in prescribers because they're just like, yep, they're just trying to get as many people as they can through the door.
Yeah, that sucks. Yeah. And that like in this circumstance, it feels like she is genuinely listening. And she's also one of those like doctors that's like, you don't have to take medication, like, you don't have to do anything you don't want to do.
Yeah.
Because a lot of the times I think that we feel like we get a one size fits all assessment mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. and one size does not fit all. No. We're all so different.
Yeah. Yeah. And it like, sucks because this is not a small deal. Taking mental health drugs is not just like taking ibuprofen.
Exactly.
And I feel like a lot of prescribers treat it like that because they're like, you know, in the pockets of these like Big Pharma.
Yeah.
You know?
Absolutely.
And like, I never felt like one of those like Big Pharma until I started seeing my old psychiatrist. I'm like, it is so clear that you just want to get money.
I wanted to secondhand strangle him.
Yeah. He was the worst. But anyway, I'm so happy.
Me too.
That you talked to her.
Yeah. And she like, I felt really heard just because I was like, I know my body well enough to know I'm really sensitive to medication, mm-hmm. which leads me to another point. I was talking to my therapist this last week and I was explaining all of these different things. I was like why I wanted to add medication management mm-hmm. to just like my mental health journey. And I was like, I just cannot function day to day. I don't know how I'm surviving at work. Like mm-hmm. I'm getting all my work done, but I'm miserable.
Yeah,
and it's not because of my work. It's because I can't focus.
Right.
So I'm just like, and then I'm like, can I not focus because I have ADHD or can I not focus because I have anxiety? And then I was telling her all of these little things that I do that like my family has always made me believe is like a result of being high maintenance, but it's not. It's because I'm a highly sensitive person. Mm-hmm. And I was like, wait, that's a real thing? Like that's an actual title.
Yeah.
And then the more I looked into it, I was like, this is me. And then like, cause anytime like I have, I don't know, like, my boyfriend's like, you're really laid back. And then I think about the times that my friends or someone I've been dating says that to my parents, and they, like, laugh in my face.
I fucking hate that.
And I'm just like, so then this entire time I've always thought, like, oh, I guess I must be high maintenance. But I'm not. I just get overstimulated really easily. Mm-hmm. So it's just nice to, like, not feel like I'm a crazy person.
There's something very relaxing about getting a diagnosis. And I didn't realize that until I read about generalized anxiety disorder, like when I was like 17, I found out what GAD is and I was like, oh my God, like this is all clicking into place. Like there's a name for these things that I've felt for so long. So it's like, just reading it and just knowing like,
it does feel so nice.
It does, because you don't feel alone in it. Because, of course, you're not. But knowing that there's, like, being able to put a word on something is so nice. And I had that experience with my depression diagnosis. Like, I was one of those people that never wanted to say that I was depressed. I was just like, I'm just sad. I'm not depressed. I'm not one of those people that are... And then I got diagnosed, and I just, like... And then I just started, like, saying that I was depressed. And it started to feel more like an identity in a way that I wasn't expecting it to. Like, I just felt like that was, like, I felt seen by the diagnosis.
You yeah. know what I mean? Like, now you're controlling the narrative.
Yeah.
If that makes sense.
Yeah.
You're totally. Not, like, just kind of like a victim to, like, whatever is going on inside.
Absolutely.
It, you're like, anchors you. I know what this is. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, having... like a title to put to something is really helpful.
Absolutely. Yeah. Well, good. I'm so glad that you're doing all of these things.
Me too.
And taking all of these steps. It's just like, it's huge.
Mm-hmm.
You're just like, you're turning your life around.
And it was so helpful that she was just like, if you don't like how this makes you feel, you can stop taking it. Mm-hmm. And I was like, oh shit, you're right.
Yeah. Yeah. You're not.
I don't have to keep doing this if I like am not enjoying it.
Mm-hmm. It's not a contract. So.
I'm stoked. I've been thinking about how I'm not the only one having this kind of like existential crisis.
Yeah.
Because we're going through a global pandemic.
Mm-hmm.
And that's something that none of us have ever experienced before mm-hmm. in our lifetimes.
Yeah.
Or like our parents or our grandparents.
Right.
And seeing like we're forced to question our belief systems.
Mm-hmm.
And our belief systems are formed when we're children, and most people get to live their lives never questioning it. They're just like raised a certain way in a certain religion with certain beliefs, and then you just live those beliefs and then you pass them on.
Yeah.
And then you die believing those beliefs.
Uh-huh.
And then now we're like forced to sit with ourselves and question our beliefs and be in a position where we can actually like stop and see the problems in our world, like whether it's racial injustice or the government completely dropping the ball on handling this pandemic.
Yeah.
I don't know why I got off on that tangent.
This is the first time I think that the world has all been experiencing something at the same time for a very, very long time. It's been this weird unifying thing. It's been like an entire, like, there's no like world culture, I guess, but it's like a full world culture reset. It's bizarre. And I mean, like, America's really, really shit the bed. Like, I read today that 1 in 22 tests are positive in America right now. 1 in 22.
Oh my God.
The fuck is that? And like, then there are countries like Australia hasn't had any like contact transmission in like 3 months. I don't know if it's actually 3 months, but like even I just a day here, please.
Yeah.
I just want a day of it. So I hear what you're saying. It's like a very like, it's bringing everybody together and keeping everybody. It's almost like we're all experiencing like PTSD at the same time.
Yeah.
Because we're all seeing all of this death every day, and it's affecting us in ways that I don't think that we know yet. Like, my best friend is getting her PhD in clinical psych, and when this all started, she said that they were already talking in terms of like pre and post pandemic, like mindsets, because this is going to change everything about everything. And that's just wild to think about. Like, we're experiencing that right now. And I don't think that we know right now how much it's going to matter in the future.
Yeah.
Because this is huge. Like, I still think about Ebola from time to time. And that was like a fraction of this. Like, but that was still wild when it was happening because people were actively afraid of Ebola and like bird flu.
I was never afraid of any of those things. I was like, psh, that'll never happen. And that's how I felt about coronavirus. I'm sure a lot of us did. We're like, oh, it's going to be fine. This is just another one of those 2 things. Mm-hmm. Yeah, but.
Turns out, 10 months later, how much has it been? 8 months? It started in March?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And
bonkers.
When I think about that, like, we've all been questioning our belief systems for almost an entire year.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know about you, but like, I have been very hard on myself for not, like, I'm an entertainer in general. Mm-hmm. Like, I love cracking jokes and socializing. And obviously we co-host this podcast and it's like, I love doing it, but I feel like I'm not interesting. And in my day-to-day life, I notice that I'm like, oh God, I'm not like interesting and quippy and funny enough because I'm having this like existential crisis. And I don't know, like, I don't know if you feel that way, if you feel like you put a lot of pressure on yourself to like always be entertaining.
I mean, in a lot of ways I do. I don't think that that's so much a function of like what's going on right now though, but it's interesting that you say this because I've noticed. My mom asked me one day, just like out of the blue, she was like, do you feel like you have to always be in a good mood around us? And I was like, no, because I don't. Like around my parents, I feel very comfortable. But then I started thinking about it and I was like, because I'm so like quippy and like bubbly and usually at least putting on a front that I'm in a good mood, whenever I'm a little bit in a bad mood, people are like, Mealy's being a cunt. Because like people aren't used to me being a type of way. And so in that sense, I'm really hard on myself to, like, be somebody who's always making jokes and always, like, happy and, like, the life of the party because people will notice when I'm, like, not in my zone. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
But I'm the same as you. Like, if I don't, like, I get the most, like, satisfaction out of making people laugh and, like, being entertaining and like I get genuine joy out of it. It's like not like I feel like I need to be. Like, I'm actually the happiest doing that. And I mean, like, film is gone right now because of the pandemic. And so, like, I haven't had an opportunity to, like, tap into that piece of me in a long time. And that's a part of the reason that TikTok has been so important to me because it's, like, I feel like I'm getting some of that back again. Like, I'm getting to, like, make things again, like, entertain people.
So in the new season of Big Mouth, there's this character that is Tito the anxiety mosquito. So I feel like what was normally just like one little mosquito is now a swarm of mosquitoes. Mm. So I'm constantly just like in my head of like, oh my God, I have anxiety about so many things. Like, our planet is fucking dying and the government is failing us. And as like a human race, we have the resources to help each other, but we just fucking won't because of money, which is also made up. And then I'm just go in this spiral all the time. Mm-hmm. I have this spiral constantly of just like, oh my God, why is this happening?
Well, we're being forced to look at, like you were saying at the beginning of this conversation, like we're being forced to look at things now, which is great and horrible because, and that's why I think that this round of protests was as involved as it was. So people got involved that I would have never have expected them to.
They got the opportunity to challenge their belief system.
100%.
And we are able to watch what's going on. Mm-hmm. We have so much access to knowledge now.
Social media has been a blessing and a curse for so many of these things.
I would say the best thing to come out of this pandemic is the level of honesty with each other that we have. I don't think it, like, I think there's something to be said about people being genuine, like on social media apps. And I think like your growth on TikTok is a testament to that. Like, we're looking for ourselves in each other, and having a community, especially right now, is, I think we're really valuing that.
Yes.
And, I think that a lot of us have developed a lot of empathy because of that.
That's huge.
And I think that's something that's really beautiful. Like, yeah, TikTok is the result of like a lot of hilarious things. Like, people make me laugh so hard on TikTok in under a minute. And I'm just like, how am I so lucky that I live amongst people that are this fucking funny?
Yeah.
And then also just like seeing really genuine content, like, and even just like helpful content for people who can't afford therapy.
Yes. We never heard back from our Twitter fight guy. And I tried picking a different fight with him and he did not engage.
Which Twitter fight guy?
The one that was like with the avatar of like the like drawing that was saying that like you look like a hooker and like you can't work in digital marketing because you wear a dress. Oh,
yeah. Just to catch up the listeners, I got into this Twitter argument because I had responded to a politician's tweet about like a digital marketing specialist, and I read the description and I was like, this, the requirements for this like are sky high. Like, and I mean, we work in marketing, we work in PR, like, and especially digital focused stuff. So I was like, this is not enough compensation for like what you're asking for, even though I like very much admire and respect you. And my Twitter avatar is like me in a dress and thigh high boots. And I'm like posing in a mirror and the dress goes up to my neck and it's like long sleeves, which no one wants to talk about. But someone was like, you're a marketing professional and you look like a hooker. And yeah, Amelia's rolling her eyes, which, and it just like goes to show like how you look has absolutely no like meaning or value towards whether or not you can do your job and if you can do it well.
It is just an outdated fucking point of view. It's just old and tired. It's so stupid. And so Liz texted me and she was like, I'm fighting with Trump supporters again on Twitter. I was like, oh, I'm dropping everything I'm doing and I'm getting involved.
If people are being too mean to me, I hit up Amelia. I'm like, someone's fighting with me.
And I feel my heart rate raise like immediately. And I just go on in. My fight or flight kicks in and I fight.
Well, and then obviously it's always someone who doesn't have a fucking avatar. Yeah. So I said, like, why don't you show us what you look like and we can decide if you're capable of doing your job. I was just like, I was on one. I was like, who's next, bitch?
No, and he was like, well, I'm not full of myself, so I don't take selfies all the time. I'm like, No. You know what he said? He said, I'm not insecure, so I don't take selfies all the time. What the fuck kind of correlation is that?
Insecure is such a jump, too.
Yeah.
And also, it's like, I'm not taking selfies all the time. This is just my avatar.
It's just like, and his avatar had like the facial hair of a Trump supporter. So I was like.
Yeah, it was like a Memoji.
Yeah. Right. Who uses. It was a Bitmoji, wasn't it? No, it wasn't Memoji.
It was the Memoji.
Ugh, I truly can't deal. So anyway, we never heard back from him. I tried getting involved.
And then someone else was like, what's your OnlyFans? And I said, I don't have one, but here's my Venmo since I know you'll jerk off to my picture anyways.
This is so good.
I like, these are things I don't even think. I'm just like.
Yeah, fuck yeah.
this politician should hire me if she wants me to clap back.
She's probably reading this. Yeah, like, she's like, fuck yeah. We want her.
Writing down her handle.
Speaking of OnlyFans.
Yes. Amelia has an OnlyFans story, and I have a million questions.
I texted Liz last night. Okay, so I'm gonna back up. I'm gonna start from square uno. So I got blessed, and speaking of TikTok too, I got blessed by the TikTok gods. They put me on Kink Talk. If you don't know what Kink Talk is, or if you're not on TikTok, as we were saying, the For You page like shows you what they think that you would be interested in seeing in the most mm-hmm. basic of terms. And somehow I ended up on Kink Talk, which is like BDSM TikTok, and it is actual heaven. Like, it is the sexiest humans ever, just like doing what they do.
Is it like thirst trappy or what is it?
It's, yeah. I'm
trying to compare the Kink Talk I get and the Kink Talk you get.
Interesting. Okay. Well, so this specific example I'll explain, because it segues nicely into my OnlyFans experience. This man popped up on my For You page named Seth Donches. Donches? I don't know how to say it. Seth Donches.
Seth, if you're listening. Tell us how to pronounce your last name.
Yeah, we need a lesson. I need to know how to say your name. Okay. So, yeah, how do I pronounce my last name? But he pops up, and it's him doing ASMR of like a kink scene.
And okay, so if you guys don't know what a kink scene is, a scene is like. It's like that experience within BDSM. Mm-hmm. So like each time you have sex is a different scene mm-hmm. and it can entail something different. Like maybe it's role play. Maybe it's like shibari, which is like fancy bondage. Mm. Shibari is pretty hot. You should look it up.
Okay. I mean, it's like I'm getting exposure to this world up. That I haven't before. Up until this point, I've had like a Liz level of exposure just from like and what even mine is me.
Just pretty. I'm not super knowledgeable,
but you're like learning about it, and it's been, yeah. It's, I've been like experiencing it through your eyes, and then like porn. Like I've always been like.
Well, in porn, they're also not explaining things.
No,
they're and not I'm just like, kinda like, this is shibari.
Right, exactly.
This is this kind of relationship. This is a brat.
Like, right. Like, yeah. You know, I had no, not, I was just like, I guess all of it is like intense and yeah. like painful.
All of it's kink and all of it is you just get hit in the face.
Like a lot of leather?
Yeah. And like, that's not it at all. Like, no. There's so many levels to it.
It's a world.
And there's a whole quiz. Take the quiz.
Yeah.
You'll learn some stuff. In general, people are pretty kinky. Uh-huh. But also having terms for it is, like, fun and, like, helps you explore. Anyways,
yeah.
So that's, like, a scene. Is just kind of, like, maybe role-playing. Maybe it's just, like, you have agreed to, like, do a certain kind of BDSM experience together.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And it also doesn't have to entail sex, but yeah. That is what a scene is.
It runs deep. Mm-hmm. And I have been so interested in learning more about this. Like, there's a lot about BDSM, not about, but like on the peripherals of BDSM that I've always liked. Like, I've always liked getting slapped, like in the face.
Well, and then when I think about when you first told me that versus me now.
Mm-hmm.
I BDSM was one of those things that it was like, I didn't realize I liked it until I experienced it.
Yeah.
And then I was like, oh.
Yeah.
Now I understand why Amelia liked getting slapped.
Yeah. And like choked and like degraded. Like, I don't want to like cry, but like, I love like being called names. Like, I don't know what it is. Like, I've always liked it. And so, like.
So, like, some degradation names that are still hot is, like,
slut.
Fuck toy. Slut.
Mm-hmm. I love fuck toy. Let me just, like, say it with, like, so much finesse.
Little fuck toy. Little fuck toy. And then whatever you want to call your dom. Maybe he's sir. Maybe he's master.
Ooh.
Or she.
Mm.
Call her mommy.
Love a lady dom.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, it's been an interesting little learning experience. So I got exposed to this via TikTok even further. And Seth popped up on my newsfeed and I got into a rabbit hole with this man. I sent Liz his profile and I was like, I am in love. I don't know what it is about this man, but I'm fully invested in everything about his existence. And Liz was like, I'm a little surprised because he's not like what I normally find attractive. There's something about him that's so, I mean, he's like,
with all due respect, Amelia, I feel like your type is a little bit of a pretty boy.
Oh,
a pretty fuck boy.
Yes.
There's only one guy who is on my list of yours right now who I still approve of.
Yeah. Who Music I think man. Is, I think he is a dom deep down.
Oh, absolutely.
He doesn't think that he is, but
he is a million times more of a dom than fake dom.
Oh,
a absolutely. Million times more.
His whole thing is he doesn't, like, after sex, he's very, and I know now that this doesn't negate it. But, like, after sex, he's like, oh, my God, I'm so sorry. And he apologizes. And I'm like, that's, like, part of aftercare. Like, then we, mm-hmm. like, wind down.
And you don't need to apologize.
You don't need to. We've agreed to have, like, sometimes I'll have him come on my face. And he's, like, he's so into it. And then afterward, he's like, oh, my God, I'm so sorry. And he's like, oh, I'm going to get you. And I'm like, we've agreed to this.
I agree to this.
Yeah. This is okay. This is okay. So I feel like.
I knew this was going to happen.
If I just send him, like, some literature, I think maybe we can, like.
Send him the quiz.
I should send him the quiz.
You can see what kind of dom he is.
I'm such a simp for that man. I am embarrassed 90% of the time I engage with him. I will marry him. Okay. So anyway, back to Seth. So I got into a rabbit hole with his videos, and like he has a lot of ASMR where he's explaining scenes, and it is so, so sexy. Like he is so, sometimes he has like footage of him like just like kind of like super cuts of like him doing shit. And I'm just like, I need more of this. Like, I'm so.
Well, and we've talked about this kind of porn where like, it's just like a narrator explaining what they're going to do to you.
Yeah.
And I'd never heard of that kind of porn, like kind of like audio porn.
Right. And I'm a super audio person.
Yeah.
I love when dudes moan during sex. Like I'm so audio. And so when I've been like actively seeking out porn, I usually search for like narration. That's what I've been looking for. And it hasn't been doing it for me. Like everything I've been finding online, I'm just like, ugh. But then I see Seth and I'm like, I want this pumped into my ears all day. Like I am like, I live in
go
like,
to the gym. Like,
yeah. Like that is my pump up music. Like let's fucking go. Tie me up. And so I saw that I was looking through his comments and somebody asked for like, they said like, is the longer version of this on your OnlyFans? And he said, yeah, I just put it up. And I was like,
your ears perked up. You're like, this may be the OnlyFans.
Yeah. And I have been thinking a lot about OnlyFans, but there hasn't been a creator that I've been like invested in spending money on. We've talked a lot about our issues with porn and like porn stars not being paid well. And for that reason, I've wanted to give money to OnlyFans. And so I was like waiting for like the right creator to come along. And he did. And so I finally dropped some coin on OnlyFans for this Seth character.
When you told me you were like, I think I might make an OnlyFans, I was very confused.
Did you think I was going to be a creator on
yes.
it?
Yes. I was like,
no.
Is the TikTok money not pulling through? But I also, I know you're donating it, but still, yeah. I was just like, if you want.
Maybe one day. I mean, who knows? I could get away with some feet pics. I have eczema, but people might be into eczema feet
oh,
pics.
Oh, absolutely.
They might be into
There's
it.
There's a marker for that. If you've thought of it, it exists. Eczema feet pics.
I'm
You don't have to show
zero.
Your face.
I don't.
No.
Honestly, I might do it. I was looking. I mean, okay. So I'll back up again. So I got a 3-month subscription because it was a 40% off sale if you got it again. And I was fully absorbed into OnlyFans. For this platform is phenomenal. Like you pay a subscription for a specific creator and then you can fill your wallet so you can tip people. So I just put like $10 in my wallet and then you can tip them per video.
Ooh.
And people get a lot of tips on their videos. Like people will make like $100 in like 10 minutes on one of their videos.
That's insane.
It's incredible. Like people are getting what they deserve and I just fucking love it. And it's just everything I thought that it was going to be. It's fantastic. And I fucking love that there's a feeling of like exclusivity with it being something you have to pay for. Like porn feels very, obviously it's not like OnlyFans is, you can buy like personal videos on OnlyFans, but it's not personal, but there's an aspect of it that kind of feels like a secret society because you've like paid money to see it.
Yeah. And there's something that is like kind of campy about porn. You know?
Yeah.
It's very performative.
Yeah.
And I think that's probably the biggest difference. I don't have an OnlyFans account to subscribe to anybody, so I don't really know. But I would assume you're getting that more of like authentic kind of feeling if you're subscribing to like the kind of porn that you're interested in.
Yeah, right. Yeah. There's something about it that's just like, there is the campy aspect of porn and just like the kind of just like, I don't know, a lot of porn is very like, and a lot, some people are into this, but like the really like sloppy, like makeup running down your face. I don't like that shit. And that's like 99% of Pornhub is like,
it's
intense, disgusting.
There's literally nothing that caters to women. Mm-hmm. And it's just all this weird, like, I don't know, so much of it. I saw this comparison once that was like, me while I'm watching porn, and then it's like this beautiful like pizza that you would see in an ad, and then it's like after watching porn, yeah, like how it looks, and then it's just like a gross like dingy picture of like an oily pizza and like that's exactly how it is.
Yeah, I don't know. Yeah.
And then when you're like not a straight man, like that's how porn looks a lot of the times.
Mm-hmm. You're just like, so real.
Why am I not fitting into this narrative?
Yeah,
right. I hate it here.
It's really awful. So much of porn is awful. And then also just being educated on how the porn industry is. Like, mm-hmm. I've been really wanting to check out OnlyFans for a while.
Yeah.
And so I'm glad that I pulled the trigger on it. Like, it's a really cool platform. And it feels very like everybody that's on there, and this is probably not the case, but it feels like, because people opt in to do it and they're making their own money, it feels like kind of like a happy place to be. It's
you're like, I know the money is going to this person.
Yeah, exactly.
Instead of like, who was it? Mia Khalifa, like, mm-hmm. did porn for like 4 months and made
like nothing.
Yeah.
Not as much as she should have.
She's one of the
top creators.
Mm-hmm.
She's on Pornhub, yeah. And now she was on my homepage of OnlyFans, too. I was like, fuck yeah, girl, get your coin. It's really a cool platform, and I'm happy that I have spent money on it. Like, it's really interesting. So I'm glad I have a window now into OnlyFans. I kind of, like, joke about OnlyFans because of, like, I'm going to sell feet pics. But, like, it's cool. I'm really, like, I'm hyped on the existence of it.
Yeah, you know? I really like that.
Yeah.
Well, I like the idea of just also, like, we all know porn is free on the internet, but during a global pandemic,
mm-hmm.
you know, why not support
yeah.
small creators who
absolutely.
Actually need this money instead of giving it to, like, some shitty big-ass corporation that continues to share people's rape videos.
Yes. Yeah. And all the human trafficking that goes on, too. Yeah. Like, it's just really disgusting. And, like, it's hard to, like, get off to, like, something that's so obviously problematic.
Yeah, like, and you're like, you also don't ever really know.
Right. Yeah. Somebody could seem into it and not be. Or, like, yeah. it could look like a home video and it's not. You know what I mean? So it's just, like, I don't know. But, yeah. So I feel as though, and I've been joking / not joking a lot about, like, my sexual awakening coming soon. And, like, I really do feel like I'm on
the horizon. Its way. Yeah.
Yeah. Like, I feel like I'm exploring men, like, the existence of men differently.
Girl, aren't we all?
Just in the past, like, month, I feel like I've been looking at, like, partners through a different lens than I ever have.
So what would you say, like, that difference is?
I really don't know. Like, it just feels like when I'm on apps, like, I guess I do know. Before, when I was looking for people on apps, I was looking for guys that I could just, like, have a good time with for a sec, and then just, like, not after that. Now, I'm looking at people like, could I marry this guy? Which is interesting because I'm not ready for that yet. Like, but I also feel like I'm transitioning out of my hookup phase. Like, I, like, fake Dom. I feel like if fake Dom happened 6 months ago, it wouldn't have been as shitty as it was, because I would have been in the same mindset that he was in. But because I'm in this mindset of like wanting to spend my time with people that I can see a future with, whether I know it or not, like whether I'm like actively looking for the person or not, I think there's a piece of me that is like trying to find somebody I can spend a future with.
You want some kind of like,
I need some sort of connection.
Seeable future.
Yes. And I wasn't really looking for that before.
Would you say, so you're looking, I know you said like, you're like, oh, could this person be marriage material or something? Would you say that you would be able to like shear that down to just being like, okay, I can see myself just in a relationship with them?
Yeah. Yeah. Totally. But at the same time, I don't want to be exclusive with somebody right now unless I can see myself marrying them. I'm just not trying to waste my time anymore. Like, I see everybody around me with, I'm my only single friend, save one. Like, that's it. And I don't feel pressure from that per se. I'm not like, oh God, I got it. Like, I don't feel that, but I see them and you, and I'm like, I want that kind of partnership. Like, I'm somebody that needs that kind of partnership. And with Music Man, it's been an issue because it's like, he's been the only person that I've been able to see that partnership with. And he is me 6 months ago, mm-hmm. but like in a very real, like, this is going to be a lifelong thing for me kind of thing. And so like, that's been hard for me to separate myself from, because like, I'm still coming to terms with that piece of my life not being a thing anymore. Like, when we first started hooking up, I was like, yeah, I'm also not really looking for anything. And that was genuine. And now, like, I've, like, caught feels. Like, when I say I'm a simp for this man, and he doesn't listen anymore, so I feel safe saying this, I am a full simp for this man. Like, he does not give me as much attention as I act like he does. Which is not me, but he is the first person, really, since my ex, that I can see myself being with exclusively. And it's a weird feeling. And so, like, I'm kind of, like, navigating this world in a different way. And as a result, I'm viewing myself in a different way. And, like, I'm seeing my future, like, sexual prowess differently. And so, like, this whole experience with, like, Kink Talk and, like, being, like, so into everything I'm seeing there. And then, like, taking the plunge to, like, spend money on like more of that content. Like, I'm seeing myself operate in ways that like me 6 months ago would have been like, you're gonna spend money on, the whole entire internet has porn. Like, why are you spending money on it? But like, I see myself shifting in like what I'm expecting and what I'm wanting to consume. And so it's just, I don't know, it's been an interesting like self study.
I will say the most interesting thing I've noticed about this like journey that you've gone on, I've noticed like particularly with Music Man, you're not nearly as like worried about when he's texting you, mm-hmm. like and not just with him in general, mm-hmm. like you seem less like you care if that's a thing, mm-hmm. it's so obvious, like, how happy you are with yourself.
Oh, Liz. It's,
and not to say that you weren't before, but it just, like, the way it's showing up is different now. But another thing I was going to say, like, I feel a little bit of the opposite in my relationship now and, like, how I see relationships in general of just, like, I thought I was going to spend my life with someone and now I have to watch them spend their life with someone else. And it's made me not want to rush into anything, mm-hmm. because like we were so wrong for each other. And I feel like insane forever thinking that like that was going to be the person I spent my life with. Mm-hmm. So now I'm like, I don't need to know the future, because there have been so many times where I've like been like, oh yeah, I'm comfortable in a relationship because I have predicted the outcome. And like I had a past relationship where we were like, yeah, we don't want the same things, but we're so young.
Yeah.
But we're like, yeah, we don't want the same things. So let's like plan a day that we break up and shit like that, where I'm just like, yeah, I know this person isn't someone that I see myself with. And then when you have that in your head, there's no pressure.
Yeah.
And then you can just enjoy the relationship.
Mm-hmm.
And then even like with my ex that I was like, yeah, we're going to get married. like that added an unnecessary pressure to our relationship and made it like shitty. And I couldn't enjoy it. Yeah. Like, I don't think either of us enjoyed it.
Right.
At one point, we both were just like at one point and then moving forward, we both were just fucking miserable. Mm-hmm. So even though like now I can never see myself with that person, I'm just like, okay, predicting any outcome is pointless because even if you get married, you could still get divorced. Yeah. There is literally no guarantee about anything,
right.
Which that definitely, that idea and acknowledgement definitely made me spiral of like, oh, you don't know anything.
Yeah.
But ultimately I landed on just like, I don't need to know. Mm-hmm. And that has been hard for me to kind of deal with, of just like, yeah, I don't need to know because the times I've thought I've known have blown up in my face. Mm-hmm. So why should I rob myself of any sort of happiness I can experience and feel comfortable just being myself by trying to like predict the future? Because even if I'm like, yeah, we're going to get married and XYZ, that's not a guarantee.
Right.
There's just so many unknowns for me right now that I don't care.
Yeah.
If I know the outcome of this relationship, because all I know is like, I'm happy right now and I don't think it's worth robbing myself of being happy right now.
Yep. Absolutely. Amen. I'm in this mindset right now, and I know it probably sounds like super hippy dippy from the outside, but like, and I know you feel the same way, that like, I really believe the universe gives us what we need for what it thinks that we need for our future.
Oh, absolutely.
Like, so just allowing yourself to kind
such
of
a good point.
Allowing yourself to just be kind, like become kind of like a passenger for that, and like knowing like, you know, if you're supposed to be with this person, you're going to be. And like, if you're not supposed to be with this person, then you're not going to be. And like, just kind of allowing the universe and like the stars to like do what they want to do with your experience is powerful in itself, and it gives it like a weightlessness. Like, I'm just gonna enjoy this, like you're saying, I'm just gonna enjoy this right now.
And something I think that we don't consider often is like, yeah, we all have been raised to like want a wedding, mm-hmm. and have a marriage and a partnership. And I absolutely like agree with like, you want a lifelong partnership because life is fucking hard alone. And to have someone that is like your best friend in your life, mm-hmm. and you have a very deep level of partnership, it makes life less lonely, mm-hmm. because it already kind of is a really lonely experience.
Yeah.
No one will ever know what it's like to be you besides you.
Yeah.
And like that deep kind of partnership is, I think, something everybody wants to have. And we also don't think about like, we all change, and you can agree to be in a partnership with someone and like agree to marry them. But you can't predict how you both are going to change.
Yeah.
And that's why I like don't really judge anyone going through any sort of like relationship hiccups, because we're all changing all the time. Mm-hmm. And like, if it's hard for one person to go through, it can absolutely be hard for an entire relationship with another person to go through.
Yeah. Totally.
So you have to be able to change together, and I think that's really rare to find. And that's also why I don't feel bad, like, not being married.
Yeah.
When, everyone around me is getting married or has been in, like, 5-plus-year relationships and stuff like that. And then, you know, you do get your ego gets in your head, and you're, like, comparing yourself. And you're, like, am I doing something wrong? What the fuck is wrong with me?
Yeah.
Everyone else around me is getting married and having kids, and I am in my apartment in Seattle, stoned out of my mind, watching cartoons.
But there's just no right way to do it.
No,
just,
exactly. No right, and then once you confront those feelings in your head of just like, of being a little bit ashamed, and you're like, okay, there is actually no reason for me to be ashamed.
Right.
Like, there is no roadmap. Mm-hmm. And there is comfort in like having a rule book, but like also, why do you need to follow a fucking rule book?
I just think, like, as creatures, we want guidelines. Like, it's just more it's comfier to have guidelines.
You want
to
know how to do something, because doing something that you've never done is scary and hard.
And adulthood is scary. So having, like, guidelines to, like, guide us along that is nice. But, like, you're saying, like, the people around you are getting married and, like, having lives and, like, you're, like, stoned on the couch. It's, like, in my 20s, I kind of want to be stoned on the couch. Like,
yeah, I'm happy stoned on the couch.
And they're happy being married. And, like, that's the human experience, man. We're all experiencing shit differently. Mm-hmm. Like,
well, one of my very good friends had, like, she had an amazing point that I hadn't ever really considered before. And she's been in her relationship for, God, I don't even know, 5 years, maybe a little bit more. But maybe even 7 years. Fuck. I'm sorry. If you're listening, I don't remember how long you've been in your relationship. She's know it's kind of long. But cause I recently saw her at a friend's wedding and I was like, sometimes I feel like I'm missing out because I'm watching all of my friends get to these points in their relationships and their lives. And I feel like I'm doing something wrong. And it's, you know, it's hard to not feel like that. It's happening all around me. And she was like, I mean, everything has a trade-off. Like, I've been in my relationship for this long and they lived with her parents so they could save money and now they have a house. And she's like, but you got to move to another city and have this like huge awakening and all of these crazy life experiences. So everything has a trade-off. Like, mm-hmm. just because I have this, like, you have something else that I haven't experienced. And I was like, holy fuck, you're right. And, like, I wouldn't trade my experiences for anything.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
It really aligns with, like, that inner feeling of, like, everything happens for a reason and it's right. It's what's right for you.
Absolutely. And it's...
Once you, like, are done fighting that feeling of, like, everyone's getting married or whatever that thing may be. Like, oh, everyone's getting, like... a promotion and I'm not and yeah. like what am I doing wrong?
Mm-hmm.
You're just on the path you need to be.
Totally. And like that's just so the whole grass is always greener mentality is a testament to that. Like I think it's really easy to look at what other people have and be like they have it the best.
Yeah.
And then the people that are like having that are always like
I wonder what it would have been like if XYZ.
Exactly. Like when I was in my relationship, there was a big piece of me and it was a big piece of why the relationship ended was like feeling like I was missing out on experiences because I had been with this person for so long.
Mm-hmm.
And the other the people that were on the side that I was like thinking that I wanted to be on were looking at me and they were like, I wish I had a relationship that long. People always want what they don't have. Like women with straight hair want curly hair and women with curly hair want straight hair.
So true. It's like, I had a big head of curly hair.
Me too. And then all of my friends with curly hair are like, no, you don't. It's too much work. I'm like, you don't know what I want. So don't.
Don't tell me what I want.
Don't tell me how to live my life. I'm cracking another one, by the way.
So we're going to wrap things up. With a fun little cue.
We're trying to like get structure in the end of our episodes and we still haven't really nailed the transitions.
No. And the beautiful thing is we can continue to change it until we find something that we like.
If you like a specific ending, please fucking tell us because we're floundering out here.
We just don't know.
We don't know. Help us.
Wait, but before we hang up.
No, you hang up first.
No, you. So I was going through TikTok. I saw this TikTok where this girl shows, have you heard of minimalist, like, manger scenes?
No. Manger scene? Manger?
What are they called when, you know, when Jesus was, like, born in the manger?
I'm the worst person.
There's a name for that. Can't remember what it's called.
Oh, nativity scenes.
Yes. Okay, there's these minimalist nativity scenes.
What the fuck?
And...
That's the most Gen Z thing I've ever heard in my life.
So they're, like, the examples of them are, like, it's like a box, and then there's circles, and they're different sizes and colors, and they represent, like... the three kings and Joseph and Mary and baby Jesus. But the best one I saw was they're just blocks that say Jesus, Joseph and Mary. And then one of them says donkey and the other one says sheep. And they're so fucking funny.
And are they supposed to be funny?
I don't know.
Jesus is turning over in his
just
grave.
Just a tiny, just all these fucking blocks.
I can't deal.
And I'm like, this is hilarious. And it, like, I don't know if this is a self-aware thing or if it's serious.
We're, like, trying to pay our respects, but we don't want it to take on much room.
If it's self-aware, then that's even better. They're just like, yeah, you were raised Catholic.
Here's so we have some these blocks that say Jesus on them.
And they're, like, different sizes. Like, Joseph is a rectangle and Mary's a square.
I've never loved or hated something more in my life than this. That's phenomenal. That's phenomenal.
So that's what's bringing me life right now.
I wonder if the church knows.
Does Jesus know about this?
Have you asked Jesus if it's okay?
Jesus, did you know
Jesus should be the biggest block, really?
These children's blocks are making a mockery of you.
Yeah. They said Joseph is bigger, Jesus. How do you feel about that?
Jesus is like, it's all about the vibes.
Yeah. I'm okay with being the smallest block, man.
I would love if Jesus just like came back and was like raiding nativity scenes and was like, the vibes are off. Do you think I'm white?
Do you think it would be like, what if Jesus came back now and he just like sees how many photos, like how many paintings of himself as a baby are hanging up in people's houses? I would be like, y'all.
Or just like these grown ass adult pictures of like white Jesus.
Yeah, he's like, I was not
white. Jesus is just like some like Western college campus kid who plays hacky sack.
Yeah. And I honestly, like, when and if Jesus comes back, he's going to be like, this is a little heavy-handed, y'all.
When and if Jesus comes back, he's going to be appalled by everything. He's going to be like, why are you using my name to defend your bigotry?
Right. Like, why are y'all killing each other over me, man? I just turned water into wine. I was a politician, man.
I'm here for a good time, not a long time. Yes. Jesus out.
He's big on Bumble.
Okay, on that note.
All right. We're going to hell for this episode. I'm convinced.
I'm sorry. No.
We love you.
We're going to have to say it kind of loud because these mics are quiet.
Okay. Thanks for listening.
We love you so much.
And we'll talk to you next week.
Goodbye.